Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
48 years ago today, John F. Kennedy's motorcade came down Elm Street in downtown Dallas when shots rang out. Here's Walter Conkright on that day.
There has been an attempt, as perhaps you know now, on the life of President Kennedy. He was wounded in an automobile driving from Dallas Airport into downtown Dallas.
And, of course, he was assassinated that day, despite the conclusion by the Warren Commission that a lone gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald, was responsible for the death of President Kennedy. Conspiracy theories abound.
To mark this year's anniversary, Academy Award-winning filmmaker and Cambridge resident Errol Morris made a short documentary for the New York Times about one piece of that assassination puzzle.
Morris turns his camera on a man obsessed by the JFK assassination, former Harvard professor of philosophy Josiah Tink Thompson. Tink digs into the mystery of the so-called Umbrella Man, who can be seen in many of the photos and footage of that day in Dallas.
Now, Tink, it seemed curious that a lone man with an open umbrella on a sunny day would be standing right next to the motorcade as Kennedy was shot. And when he published his observation, many others offered their explanations. Here is Tink in Morris's short documentary.
There was one wingnut who published a book with a diagram of the umbrella. The umbrella was rigged so that there was an aiming device and there was a rocket tube that you could fire a flechette directly into Kennedy's throat.
The Umbrella Man is the real assassin.
That was the idea. That was the source of the hole in the throat, folks, right?
Well, as you can imagine, that theory did not stand up to subsequent scrutiny, as we find out in Errol Morris's short doc. And Errol Morris, JFK obsessive himself, joins us now on the phone from Los Angeles. Thanks for coming on the show again.
Thanks for having me.
My personal theory when I heard about Umbrella Man was that he was a gentleman with a skin condition who was using a parasol. That turns out to also not be true. Revealing as much as you want to reveal, who was he?
Josiah Thompson, Tink Thompson, became an expert, perhaps the expert, on the Zapruder film. He looked at these frames over and over and over and over again. He was the first to identify this man holding the umbrella. This was a beautiful day in Dallas, clear skies, the only man holding an umbrella, not only holding an umbrella, but holding an unfurled umbrella. The question is, what did it mean? Why is he standing there? Was he part of some kind of unseen conspiracy? And this is the nature of the film I produced, about evidence, about what we take to be meaningful or unmeaningful. Are we looking at an inadvertence? Are we looking at a conspiracy? What just are we looking at?
And in fact, a man who was the Umbrella Man or identified himself as the Umbrella Man eventually came forward with this very complicated story having to do with the umbrella being a symbol of Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain and it being a protest against Joe Kennedy, JFK's father. Tink Thompson concludes in your interview with him that this is a cautionary tale to beware of imbuing too much meaning into any one image. I wonder, Errol Morris, do you see it that way?
Indeed I do. The Kennedy assassination has always fascinated me because, yes, I'm an investigator at heart. And as an investigator, there's the hope that we can come to final conclusions about things. What really happened? Who pulled the trigger? Who was responsible? We're almost now 50 years out from the Kennedy assassination, and as we all know, people are still bitterly arguing about the nature of the evidence and about what really happened. That in itself truly fascinates me.
And this is not the first time that you've documented something having to do with the Kennedy presidency. Most notably, of course, you did Fog of War, which was about Kennedy's Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara. What is it about that interests you about this particular period of our history?
Well, it's a formative period for me. I grew up in the 60s,
yeah.
Like both people of that era. Do I remember where I was the day that Kennedy was shot? Absolutely. I was in high school in Vermont, and it was something that affected everybody. And it still remains a mystery at the heart of America.
You know, my colleagues and I were sort of debating this with each other earlier in the day. We were talking about whether or not the controversy or the conspiracy theorizing around the Kennedy assassination has been supplanted somewhat in the public imagination by 9/11 trutherism. Do you have an opinion on that?
Not really, but these major events in American history, perhaps by their very nature, cause controversy. The Kennedy assassination does seem unique to me because so much time has gone by, so many books. I would hate to even try to conjure with the number of books written about this historical event. But again, the surprising thing, no one can reach agreement. And it makes me think about the nature of historical evidence, of what we can and what we cannot know, and how we interpret and look at evidence.
Do you think, I mean, what do you think that we know about what happened? Do you feel satisfied with the picture of the truth that we have, both from the Warren Commission and from the subsequent Select Committee on Assassinations investigation?
I don't, but if you ask me, do I have the answer to what really happened? No, I don't.
Okay, well, that's in subsequent documentaries.
I have to be like probably most Americans, just endlessly fascinated by the story and about the evidence that's available.
Well, there are other reasons to be fascinated. I mean, Frank Rich wrote this week that Kennedy's presidency and the hate that culminated in his assassination, depending on your interpretation of what actually happened, has a great deal of resonance today. He sees that brand of vitriol and political polarization flourishing in the Obama years. Do you think that's a valid parallel?
Oh, I think hate has been with us from the beginning of time. I don't think it's so peculiar to this current era or to the Kennedy presidency. Trying to understand the past is perhaps our greatest task. And the fact that we try to conjure with it, that we try to grapple with it, is in itself interesting and important.
This op-doc is what they call it at the New York Times that you edited is from a 6-hour interview that you did with Tink Thompson. And you've said that you hope that this short could eventually become part of an extended series about the Kennedy assassination. Do you want to tell us what you have planned?
Well, yes, I would like to do something that is in greater depth, because I find these stories, just like the story of the Umbrella Man, we can be telling a story about the Kennedy assassination, but we can also be telling a story about the nature of historical reasoning, the nature of evidence, and the kinds of conclusions that we draw. Yes, I want to continue it, and I'd like to do something much larger in scope.
We'd love to see it. Errol Morris's new documentary is The Umbrella Man. For a link to the film, go to our website, radioboston.org. Errol Morris talking to us live from Los Angeles. Thanks so much. We'll look forward to seeing you back home in Cambridge.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Toodle-um-a-lum-a, toodle-um-a-lum-a, toodle-eye. Any umbrellas, any umbrellas to fix today.
And that's our program today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Adam Ragusa. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.
Any umbrellas to fix.